Now, hello and welcome to the Chef Salt Pork Podcast with your hosts Casey and Sean. We're your weekly home for culinary news, insights, tech musings, and everything in between.
So yeah, that's right. You can also catch us recording and streaming on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch at Chef Salty Pork Podcast. Please like, comment, and subscribe to get up-to-date notifications of when we are broadcasting live.
Yo, it's my other brother in here right now, Salty Chef. What's up, my guy?
Hey, Salty Chef. Salty Chef is in the building.
Both salties are in the building. Welcome to the other stream. Well, I should say the original stream because it's you and I usually for the most part. But I was doing some other shindigs while you were kind of away. Sean, how you doing, man? It feels like I need to say happy birthday, happy new year's.
Yeah, like, I know, right? It's weird. I mean, we did a show last week, but yeah, you know, it feels like we had a little summer vacation, summer hiatus. You know,
I know.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I feel refreshed.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's very good.
I feel good, man. I know last time we did a podcast, you're like, oh man, you haven't gotten a haircut. And yeah. You were right. I didn't get a haircut. So let me tell you why I went and got a haircut. One, because I needed it. And here's the thing, like, you fellas, you're living with your missus or whatever have you, you know, you might get a little comfortable, right? But a few things are gonna start happening in my household. In the middle of conversations, V just starts looking up at my hairline. She just starts, I can just track her eyes, like they're here and then they're there,
and
then
she's here, going over here, yeah,
and then they're here. Mm-hmm. And like, she's not saying anything, but she's totally saying everything. So, you know, I had to get a cut just to kind of head off those conversations. You know, you don't want to get too comfortable. But the other reason why I got a haircut, and this is like a true story. So like, when the pandemic started, you know, barbershop had to close, and you know, I was walking through my neighborhood and saw my barber outside, and he was like, hey man, you know, I'm on Instagram, you should follow me, you know, so we can keep up, you know. It's a way to just schedule things if need be, pop by the house. I never took advantage of it, but, you know, pop by the house and, you know, get a cut, do what you do. So, man, the other night, like, I had the weirdest dream. Like, I dreamt that my barber, right, was, like, commenting on my Instagram photos and, like, subtweeting me about the state of my hairline, man. This is what goes on in my head, you know, fortunately or unfortunately. Yeah, you know, so, like, it's like a picture of me and my hairline is, like, not so great. And he's like, really? And another picture, he's like, you sure you want to do that?
Wow, you're playing. Yeah,
so
this right now.
So yeah, so you know, as soon as I found time, I was like, yeah man, let me get in there, get a cut. And it's one of the best haircuts and quickest haircuts I've gotten in a while, man. In and out the chair, you know. Brief but good conversation, and you know, out and back to where I need to be. So I feel good. You know what I'm saying?
You look like, good. Like, it feels like...
You know
like,
what? I wasn't going to say that. I was going to let you say it, and you did. So, no, I can say it. I look good.
Notice it right away. I noticed it right away.
And, you know, it's a good baseline to maintain for a week or so until it's time to get back in the chair. But, yeah, just like the pod, man. I mean, you got to do it, right? You got to keep your reps up.
Yeah, man. You got to keep your... It's all about reps. So, I've been watching The Last Dance. I haven't told you because I haven't seen you in a week, but I'm on episode 4 or 5 where Rodman comes in pretty much.
Okay. And then
they were kind of talking about it. I was just like, I had no idea, Sean. Like, I knew kind of like some of the backstory or whatever, but not really anything pertaining to what the org was doing or any of that nature, or even how Rodman was. And I was just like, wow, this dude is... what you call it? like a wild card, pretty much.
Man, that team was a complete wild card, rock star. You know,
yeah, like just epitome of a crazy not environment, but just like person that inhabits insanity, and he can like contain it. That's what I think. That's how I understood Rodman, and how he was kind of acting. I don't even know how old he was. I'm gonna say like maybe in his 30s by then.
Yeah, at that point in his career. Right? Yeah, he was in his mid-30s. But, Yeah, I mean, for those who have yet to see the documentary or are not up on their 90s Bulls information, what Casey is talking about is during that team's, like, championship run and specifically their three-peat run. So, like, it's really hard to win one NBA championship, but that team in particular was good enough to twice win three championships in a row. And the documentary The Last Dance kind of follows the Bulls team during their second three-peat. So this is the second time they're going to win a third championship. And, you know, at this point, most of the guys on the stars of the Bulls are aging. You know, they've got competing priorities. And the one player, Dennis Rodman, he was a mercurial type of guy. And he was an expert at rebounding. And rebounding is like when someone takes a shot, you know, this the rebounder goes and, you know, goes and gets tracks down the ball so that they get another possession for their team. And when it comes to basketball, it's not a glamorous thing to be a rebounder, you know. Tall guys usually do it because they're closer to the basket. But yeah, Dennis Rodman was not a tall guy, or not the tallest guy in the court. And he, like, really excelled at, like, grabbing the rebounds and helping his team, you know, gain more possessions. And he was a really good defender. And, you know, because of his personality, he was kind of like an irritant. So, like, he'd annoy the other team's best player and kind of take them off their game. But part of harnessing that particular energy was kind of, or at least at the time, the Bulls, you know, they kind of had to put up with that guy's proclivities. And he was a rock star who happened to be playing basketball. You know, you just think of, like, all the stories you would assume with the rock star lifestyle, trash in hotel rooms, you know, substance abuse, benders, just disappearances, late concerts, you know, except this guy was one of the best defenders of all time and one of the best rebounders in the NBA of all time. And, you know, this team that was trying to accomplish something that other teams... I'm really struggling to think of another team that had, like, two three-peats. That no other team, at least in their time, was able to accomplish. And,
I just appreciate Rodman because when I was growing up, my game revolved around Larry Bird and Rodman. Because, one, I'm not necessarily tall. Two, I really like rebounding for some reason. Like, I enjoy the physicality of it and just bumping people off and seeing where the ball is going to go and then passing it to my teammate. But two, with the whole Larry thing, I want to be able to go left and right if need be, if I get the ball. So that was, like, that was part of my game. So I just really appreciated the way he was kind of brought into the picture, because the man is insane. He was small forward, right?
Because Scotty was a power forward, you know.
He was power forward,
the size of, like, a typical small forward.
Yeah, that was what I was about to say, because Scotty was power forward on the Bulls, but they both kind of in the same, oh, I don't know, it doesn't matter. You can play three or four if you're that person anyway. Just like, I played two and three. So, yeah, no, I've been watching Last Dance. Highly enjoy it.
Oh, yeah, that was, you know, it's weird to say this, but kind of a highlight of the early pandemic, because before it was on Netflix, it was on ESPN, and it was coming out, like, every week. So, you know, we're kind of, like, making time, like, as appointment TV to watch this documentary. And it was cool because I'm a big basketball fan. So some of those stories I already knew through, like, you know, watching the games during the time, or kind of, like, reading up on, like, the teams in the years after. But for my wife, who, like, you know, knows basketball by proxy, it was kind of cool for her to, you know, watch this long form documentary about something that, you know, was familiar to her, but not, you know, she wasn't immersed in. And, you know, some interesting personalities on that team.
No, extremely it's just, I just truly appreciate it. I'm thoroughly enjoying my time just watching and taking my time, just kind of enjoying the experience per se. Cause, you know, so I came over in the States in 97. It was already happening.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, like, it, you know, they were already on their fifth going to the sixth title. So I followed them all the way from the Philippines, literally. But I was still a big fan of the Knicks and Miami Heat at the time, and then also the Pistons. So it was just like literally all East Coast teams.
Yeah.
Nobody on the West Coast.
I mean, for me, you know, like I said, I got you by a little bit, but when the Bulls were winning their first championships, like I was 10, 11, you know, or 11 through 13. And I played basketball, but I didn't watch basketball on TV like that. And then Michael Jordan retired and then came back. So like my basketball awakening as like a fan of the sport and not just a player was during the second three-peat. You know, it's like, you know, a special time in my basketball life. So much so, I'm not going to pan the camera right now, but like I have this like cool picture on the wall here, like a framed picture of Michael Jordan taking the last shot from that Last Dance season, you know, with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like blown up really big. Like the way the shot is composed is like everything else has been black and white except for Michael Jordan. He's in his, you know, Bulls red. And like with the resolution of the photo, you can see like all of the fans in Utah like in complete devastation as he pulls up for this shot that goes in. You know, spoilers for the Bulls winning six championships.
Spoilers.
But yeah, like I definitely like remember that time of my life, you know, coming to really understand like how good Michael Jordan was relative to the other players at that time. And it kind of laid a foundation for me to kind of go back and see like the player that he was like when he was, it's weird to say, like when he was in his athletic prime. Cause at this point in time, you know, when they're having a series, I mean, he's still the greatest basketball player at all, but like he's not jumping over guys and slammed, you know, like it's not, you're not getting that Michael Jordan. You're getting a more grounded, pick your spots, you know, kill them with fundamentals and savvy, you know, type of player. And, you know, it's a very good documentary. So I know it's on Netflix. I think that's probably where you're watching it, right?
Yeah,
it's
on Netflix,
I would definitely say if you're remotely interested in basketball or just interested in documentaries, you should check it out. It's a good watch.
No, definitely. Highly, highly good watch. And I brought a little tear when they did a little mini Kobe shout out like in between the episodes. I was just like, wow, he got to play with him when he was 19, 20, 21 pretty much. And, you know, got to experience that kind of, I don't know, it was just crazy. I was just like, wow. It feels also weird seeing Kobe.
Yeah, like, talking, it definitely is weird to see Kobe and things. You know, I feel like a few weeks or it was the last week. Yeah, literally last week to today. 8/24, you know, a lot of folks online were kind of reposting Kobe stories and highlights because when he played for the Lakers, he wore the number 8 and 24. So, you know, for a lot of today's basketball players, like the generation that's playing, you know, Kobe Bryant was their Michael Jordan equivalent.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, it's very, very sad to, I don't know, re-experience the passing of Kobe Bryant. Like, you know, as far as being a basketball fan, the significance of that is like top tier, and and rightfully so gets lost in the context of the state of the world and the pandemic last year and this year. Still super weird.
It's still a little weird, you know. It's just because even the old greats are still alive, and then, you know, Kobe's not there.
Yeah.
So it's just like missing. Like there's one other person that's supposed to be there. He's not there right now. So it feels a little just feels a little off altogether. Sean, so here's part two of the questions.
Okay.
What have you been eating?
What have I been eating? Okay.
Day by day, just come at me. Doesn't matter.
Oh, man.
What have you been making?
Sure. Wow. Okay.
I'm just making sure you're sharpening your knife still.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, my knives are sharp, you know.
You I didn't won't say put
my
down
skills
the coat.
Have dulled, but I will say that it's been a somewhat lazy couple of weeks, but that's for a few different reasons. Some of which were because it was hot as shit.
And it was. Oh my God.
It was hot. And, you know, when it's super duper hot, like, you know, the things I'm going to abandon using my oven. so that impacts a lot of decisions, you know, that I'm making when it comes to cooking. And some of the other reasons why it's been like a kind of a lazy couple of weeks. And, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to the future to kind of like, you know, challenge my creativity. As far as cooking is concerned, was just that, you know, in my household, we've really, really, really been trying to, like, get my daughter to get on a particular sleep schedule. And that requires, unfortunately, a lot of attention and time during the evening. So, like, given, like, you know, work commitments and other commitments, like the time to like really, really be focused and creative in the kitchen has been somewhat limited. So I haven't really been taking advantage of that as I get my daughter to go to sleep on time.
Ah, that's okay. Well, follow up question then.
Yeah.
Have you made the little one any cool little like treats? Have you made her like a really bomb ass like to go for school or something? Cause that'd be pretty epic. You know?
So, no. Okay. I mean, I've made her like fun breakfast. Like she's really a big fan of fruits and berries, and she's still like very much a little kid. So things like blueberry pancakes, you make me dad of the year in her eyes. So like the opportunity to like, you know, do that like stands out. But even right now, I mean, everything is like an opportunity to kind of shape her palate and redefine like what she might like to eat. So I'm trying to think, what did I make the other day? I made like a Korean inspired chicken and broccoli dish the other night. She's like, so as a base, she's really into rice. Like it's like
amazing. Love it.
She comes to daddy the rice, and sometimes she says daddy the pasta, and then I make her pasta and she goes no, the rice. So we fall back on the rice, and you know, she was really, really into that for the first night, and my girl is not really with the leftovers. She's like, but I guess I'll ask you, Casey, you know, if there were a little Casey or Caitlin Jr. or sequel running around, what are the things you would imagine you would be putting in front of them?
Oh, bro, I'm ready. You ready for this? So I'm going to have one of those. You can actually picture it right now. It's the little like five container, like five compartment, like, to go, right? The little Asian thing.
Little bento box.
Little bento box, right? On the one corner, it'll have like little carrots modeled after like, I don't know, fucking dinosaurs or some shit.
Okay.
And then my favorite, because I made this when I was a little young. If you take the fucking hot dog, you cut it in half, and you make a little octopus out of it.
Oh, I got you.
Have you done this?
I know what I'm saying? I see it. Okay.
All day.
Now.
Make those little things. And then just like little bits of pasta, little bits of fruits. That's her meal right there altogether. Or like even we'll make it like spam musubi just for like straight up sandwiches, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that'd be like a daily occasion I'd make for the kid.
Let me ask you this. How much time do you think it would take to prepare something like that? You know?
Okay.
No, so just asking.
No, I got you. So I think it's a two-part answer for you. I would have to pre-do most of it before like nighttime. Because you won't be able to do it like day of. I don't think so, in my opinion. Because, you know, day of, you're like, shit, wake up now, put the stuff. But when I say put the stuff into kid, dress them up, you know, make sure they're all proper. And then out they go. You literally have, I don't know, 5-10 minutes to do any of that. If you get it, you know, So that'd be like the whole, that'd be like the whole thing. However, knowing you knowing me that I'm Asian, I'd be like, sit, and then we just do it for 10 minutes, and then we go ahead. So yeah, that's what's gonna happen, Sean.
So okay, so you got some pre-prep and then some re-prep before packing it up and ready to go. So how would you feel if there were a little person that kind of looked a little like you, and kind of looked a little like your wife, who looked at this work and effort that you produced and stared up at you with their little scrunchy face and said, no want it.
No want it. Yeah, well, I guess, was it the words of my old Lolo, my grandfather, he would like, well, it'll be there tomorrow. The day after that, you know, we gotta teach them quite young. But yeah, what do you do? They're gonna starve.
Yeah.
So would you usually give them what? Like Cheerios or some shit? I don't know.
I'm just asking, man. just ask it. Cause man, I can't remember what it was the other day. And yeah, it was one of those circumstances. Daddy, you know, I want this. I'm like, hey, look, you came to the right person because I can make that and I can make it well. And sure enough, you know, made it. It was a little hot, so, you know, I put it in front of her on her little chair. I was like, yeah, you gotta wait for it to cool down and you can eat. Uh-huh. And I turned my attention for a little bit to go back into the kitchen to get something else. And I heard the scamper of two little feet take this bowl of lovingly created food that I made, bring her little plastic bowl over to the garbage can,
and throw it away.
Sit it on, so she couldn't figure out how to open it because it's like got one of the little step lids, and just place the bowl on the garbage can and look up at me with her little scrunchy face and say, "Daddy, don't want it.
Don't want it."
And I'm like, well, you asked for this. You got to eat again.
Yeah, I don't know, Sean.
At some point, maybe, you know, you too will
will experience that. Yes,
a lot about what the next step should be. Yeah, I typically fall back on the old school. Well, we ain't got nothing else.
Yeah,
you better eat it before it gets cold.
Too bad, you gotta eat it. Yeah,
that's what we got going on. But yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's already September. Today's September 1st.
It is, man. Right? Look at that.
It is. It's coming. Labor Day is next week. So in terms of like the restaurant, I mean, that's the only thing that we're not really focused on in terms of business, because it just depends. And then if you're, when is the school break? Man, it's been so long. I don't even remember what our corporate was during this time, but I do know October on the weekends would pick up.
Yeah.
And then nothing else till Black Friday, pretty much. Right. Am I remembering correctly?
I mean, cause again, like, you know, we weren't really impacted by Halloween as a much of a thing, but honestly, and you know, in the industry, OND, right? Like October, November, December, things start to pick up. And, you know, under normal circumstances, like people are out and about starting to think about like holiday gifts. You know, it's cool. They're going to want to like spend time outside of their homes with their families, but in a relatively warm place. So, you know, they're going to be coming to your restaurants and, you know, looking for an opportunity to spend time and a little money, you know, with their families. So business trickles up, you know.
Question for you then. Mm-hmm. If you were, okay, so let's say you come over to the restaurant. I'm like, Sean, I need a special for the coming cold season. What would something you would make as a special to run for like several weeks? Let's say that. Don't say chowder.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't, you know what's funny? I wasn't going to say chowder, but I was thinking like, a fall vegetable blend, like soup. Because I mean, just thinking of something okay. that, like, I wouldn't, you know, one is going to be relatively available because, like, the obviously the fall harvest is upon you, and it's going to start to get cool. So you might want to offer folks something that, like, they're definitely not preparing, you know, in their homes. So that's what I would be thinking. Like, I would be looking at, like, some of the other things on the menu and then trying to kind of use those as the building blocks of a particular special. But also, yeah, you know, I'm also thinking within the flexibility kind of afforded to us in some of the places that we used to work. I think it might be a little bit different for you where you kind of have more, you know, more options available, you know, available to you.
Well, sort of, not really. Cause like, I'm still obviously referring to our time in that space in a restaurant, but like, we really couldn't do too many red meat preparations, right? Because we're a fish restaurant. So we primarily rotate around fish, but it just felt like everything was on top of like a soup or somewhat. Like there's no other, I don't know. I just wish like they gave us like full bearing and be like, Case, go ahead, make like an actual dish, not revolving any of this. Like I really just wanted to do ramen at one point. I was like, let me do my thing. Like, I promise you.
All roads lead back to ramen.
To ramen.
Eventually, you're gonna find yourself there.
It's getting close, Sean. I was just telling Caitlin. I was like, I think I'm at that part where I'm looking for some spots here in Hackensack. So if anyone's not aware, we're in New Jersey. And specifically in my town, there's a lot of new buildings being erected and being as like little luxury apartments, kind of. It's gonna like a lot, bro. I'm talking, yo, homie, I'm telling you, like 10 to 15 like places, Casey, being.
Are you gonna have a doorman? Are you gonna have a gym and a pool on the premises?
Yo, that'd be cool, actually. Think about it, right?
Whoa.
Oh, man. You just go onto the balcony. There's a little thing right there. Right behind you is my epic-ass restaurant. Like, I think it'd be pretty cool. It's right by the river, you know? I'm telling you, it's turning into Hoboken. I'm so excited for it. Like, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what it entails eventually. But I was saying, I wanted to try, like, my specialty in Japanese cuisine and Chinese cuisine, like to actually do those dishes, but we both know our corporate didn't particularly like outside products that they didn't know of,
right?
Specifically,
right. Which,
you know?
Again, you know, makes sense. I mean, you know, there is an integrity and the consistency that they want to kind of offer. You know, and in the margins, you know, allow room for people to be creative, but still it's got to be restrained, right? Like to some measure.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, I mean, I know, like, again, the joke is like all roads lead to ramen, but what does a fall ramen look like? Like, what does that even mean?
Yo, you ready for this, bro?
Yeah, I'm
ready.
Check
this out.
Bless me.
Check this out. So this week. So I think I don't remember if I sent you my soba dish that we currently run at a restaurant. It's a cold preparation soba. Obviously you cook it and then you blanch it and then you cool it down so it's nice and cold. It's like a cold preparation with some scallops that are seared. So it's still kind of warm-ish, but like cool to the tongue because it's hot as shit outside. However, the temperature now is literally hovering like almost 60-ish. On some days, it's definitely getting colder. So my dish for this week that Chef approved of, I'm trying to look it up here. I'm going to give me a sec. So we're going to go with, give me a sec here, Sean. It's not ramen, but like it's ramen.
It's raw, man.
It's not ramen. Okay. So the dish is, I call it the cold ramen ya and fried tofu squares as a dish.
Okay.
Ramen noodles, you know, blanch and then cool down. The same exact preparation for soba, but it will get a tare with, you know, the ramen noodles, sesame oil, pickled Chinese cabbage, golden radish slices, spicy black garlic oil, micro cilantros, and then like a bass and scallop combo on top of it with like sunflowers and shit because we fancy, you know?
Okay.
You know, we have to use tweezers because, you know, we're that same.
Hey, right.
Yeah, that's what it is now, Sean. So I guess for me, I think that would have killed at our other restaurant. Like just fucking like,
sure.
All the Filipinos, all the Chinese, all the Koreans would be like, oh my God, what? All of a sudden, you know, this major corporation selling actual like a restaurant Asian dish that you wouldn't know of unless you were in like Fort Lee or aren't one of our neighboring towns. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring it into that space. So that's my dish. Got approved. So we're making it this week or tomorrow, I should say. And I'll send you some pictures. But
please do.
Yeah. But it's getting colder. So I keep saying getting colder because eventually I am going to do my actual ramen, like a ramen prep with stock, the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. That's going to take forever. But I think it's going to be killer. But then again, I'm a French American restaurant, so
right.
It might contain like short ribs, or would be pretty killer with ramen or some kind of version of that preparation instead. I don't know, but yeah, man, that's how we think nowadays, at least at the restaurant side. But definitely just want to do ramen. I'm tired of everything else. I'm like, ooh, how about a ramen burger? He's like, what? Like, don't worry about it. Let me just make it for you. You'll like it. Right? Like it.
Yeah.
Oh man, look, I'm telling you.
If you're putting it in front of me, I'm taking a bite.
Ah, see, this is why I love you, yo. Like for real. Sean, let's do some Mon Chouchou news.
Goodness, quickly. It's been forever. Yo, let's get it.
It's been a little bit of forever. However, let me get the sound bite here, Sean. You think it's gonna bug out if I play this?
Nah, man, I believe in it.
Okay, hold on.
Hey,
there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. Oh, see, I told you.
Perfect. No.
Hold on.
That poor accordion player.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. See what happened? See what happened? I knew it was going to do it, Sean. But you was all in faith for it anyway.
I had to believe. I had to believe that this time the accordion maker was not going to trip down the stairs.
Technical difficulties a little bit now. However, Mon Chouchou news this week, Sean. So, like I said, Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks full on tilt, releasing fucking pumpkin spice everything the last couple weeks, pretty much. Mm-hmm. But in the same token of it, Bud Light is trying to hearken in that same thing. Bud Light Seltzer embraces basic launches pumpkin spice seltzer. How do you feel about this?
I feel like
it looks cool.
Sometimes these companies literally just throw darts at the wall. No, because it's like, look, this product is like a pastiche of a lot of different things. Obviously, it's a hard seltzer, which is varying degrees of popular right now. It's Budweiser, so it's got the name recognition right there. It's the fall, and it's pumpkin. So like, there is someone who's going to be willing to ride that ride. And the cool thing if it doesn't, yeah. And if it doesn't track, they can always tap out pretty easy because it's the fall in a can.
Okay. But listen to the flavors though. So they have apple crisp, right? Mm-hmm. Pumpkin spice, obviously maple pear and toasted marshmallow. Those are the flavors on these.
I mean, I'm not really mad at it. Any of those, I would, of all of them, I think I might be most curious about the toasted marshmallow. Not because I want to drink it, but more so because I'd like to know what that even tastes like.
Now, I know you don't really do Starbucks or anything. However, was it last week? I want to say almost 2 weeks ago, Starbucks released their new apple crisp flavor.
Right.
Kaylin said it's delicious. I don't consume Starbucks, so I don't know. However, it sounds great. I kind of want to try it. How sweet is it? She's saying that it's as sweet as any of their other drinks. So,
okay.
And she said it's delicious. Does it actually have apple crisps? What do you mean you don't know? You said you drank it. So it didn't have like... No, I'm asking like, did it have like an apple crisp? Like the, you know, like the... Oh, well, I don't want it then.
I'm sure it's like more crisp as a descriptor and not crisp as a texture. Oh,
see... Sean, this is why, you know how in our restaurant when we say this is salmon, so you're going to get salmon. If it fucking says apple crisp, I want an apple crisp on a damn drink. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's fair.
Sure. I could see that. I could see why you'd want that. But like you also I don't know. You're going to deliver it through a Starbucks straw. like it still needs to be consumed that way.
Okay, so a couple more, Sean. Pop-Tarts releasing a new flavor, a limited. Oh, dude, I'm so excited for this. So, Pop-Tarts will have a limited edition chocolate churro flavor. Bro, I am all for churros.
I am like, all for that packaging.
Yo, Frost, remember when churros. I think Delia, it was Delia. Remember, like, Delia would make fucking on, like, almost like Christmas time. She would make churros. Mm-hmm. Like, she would go over and fucking, like, just drop some. I was like, where the fuck did you get it? She's like, I made it. And it was, like, the most delicious thing. Yeah, I miss our old crew, like, for real,
Delia.
Man. Just,
shout out to that whole crew. Shout out to Hopefully Delia. Everyone is doing all right.
But I'm so for this. So, like, it looks great. Chocolate churro, I'm all for it, even though I'm allergic. But this is like the Bulleg chocolate, so it's fine. Sort of, maybe, I don't know. I think I might break out. But I'm all for this.
Yeah, I would try that.
Right?
I would try that. Yeah. Next time I'm in the market, if I happen to see that, I will pick up a box and let you know how it goes.
And my little favorite little thing to it, like all the stuff on it are in Spanish. Right. Love it. Like full on just.
Okay. I'm all for it. Well, I wonder what the distribution is for that then.
What do you mean? Like, you think it will only be?
Yeah, like I'm curious now because that's really creative.
Yo, look at that, man! That's like really,
you know what. Way to go, Kellogg's. You did it.
Way to go.
Right. Yeah, General Mills. You got one. You got one.
My goodness. All right. The last one on the agenda, pumpkin pie Kit Kats.
No.
Are back. did you say nope?
Nah, man. Nah.
Why nope?
No. It might be good.
Okay, hold on. First of all, do you do Kit Kats? Do you eat Kit Kats?
Yeah. Oh, in fact, when I was growing up, those were literally my favorite chocolatey candies. I used to ask my mom to get Kit Kats from the store. Like, there was, on the way home, there was, like, my elementary school. We had to cross paths, like, a bodega. Like, every single day, I would ask for a Kit Kat. Wouldn't always get one, but I would ask for one. So, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm down with the Kit Kat. It's been a minute. I'm joking about not eating that. But like, I like pumpkin pie and I like Kit Kats.
You saying nay to this? Like, it looks great. Caitlin said
no,
yes.
No, I'm joking. I would try it.
It's returning for the fall season. I think, so in H Mart here by us in Teterboro, Teterboro, they have like a little section where they have some imported stuff from like Japan and Korea. Like, sure. Some of the stuff are already on the shelves, even before all this. So if you wanted to partake in some of these other flavors, like, it's fully there, but obviously in a different language, but it's the same shit. just in a different
could have hit up that
language. You gotta hit up that H-mark. But yeah, man, that is the Monshushi news. Not too crazy. I think the only thing would be I haven't been paying attention to news. Did they release anything for the city yet? Are they going back on like COVID mandate or anything? Like, do you guys need to? Like, I think you have to identify with.
Obviously, you still need your masks, and a lot of establishments are requiring that you either have proof of your vaccination. So you can have a picture of your, you can either have your vaccination card, you can have a picture of your vaccination card, or like the New York City has like an app that, you know, you can present like almost as a, like a vaccination passport, or you need to provide a COVID test that says you're negative from within a few days.
How does that affect you? Like, I've been...
I mean...
Because, like, here in Jersey, there's still nothing. You know, we're not really... I mean,
to be honest, it hasn't thus far because I haven't really been in, like, a restaurant myself in a minute. But, like, my wife, like, she was, like, running some errands and then, like, happened to stop in, like, Chick-fil-A. And they were like, hey... definitely to have your proof of vaccination. And she got caught off guard when she had it, but you know, that was like the first time she'd been inside a restaurant, you know, as opposed to like a drive through or for us having stuff like, you know, delivered through Seamless or Grubhub or whatever have you. So yeah, I mean, it's a very real reality, you know. Establishments, look, they want to be able to make some money and be as safe as possible, and I mean, it's kind of the only way right now to have a good chance at that. I mean, obviously, you know, being vaccinated doesn't mean that like you can't still spread, you know, COVID or the variants, but look, I mean, at least they can ensure that for the most part, you know, if you were to spread or, you know, catch it, you're not going to die. You know, like, and that's like, it's the best case scenario for now. So, yeah, I'm prepared with, you know, pictures of my vaccination card. If, you know, if establishment asks me to provide it, just go from there.
I was just wondering because I haven't really spoken to you about it, or I've inquired to you on how that kind of changes a little bit. I know West Side, like the West Coast, might be doing another shutdown. You know, just because of the crazy spike right now, they might even mandate masks again. But I know for at least in Jersey, some stores will have like like literally in the front, need a mask to go in. Well, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Sure.
That's cool. I'm fine with it. Like most of the time, like people would just say it's as if everything is normal. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I just wanted to get perspective on it.
Yeah, man, it's just, a year or so of living with COVID. I mean, it's just kind of the norm, you know. I leave the house, pack my mask, got mask in the car, you know, like I know, like, hey, you walking inside some place, put that mask, you know, get that mask on, you know, try to be, you know, mindful and prepared. You know, that it's just kind of the expectation here. Like, I feel like from the onset, there was less pushback here. So for the most part, people are, you know, aware. And I've not come into been in a situation where someone is like really pushed back against that.
In terms of your local eatery, have you noticed any spots that are not, or should I say, what's that? How do I phrase this? Have you noticed any other new... restaurants opening, like with new concepts or...
Yeah, so around here, there are some new establishments that are opening in a variety of different things. And also, like, what I didn't expect is, like, this one local Chinese restaurant is just shuttered. Like, I kind of didn't realize that it happened, you know, until I was walking around the neighborhood the other day, and it's just... That one happens to be gone, but you know, it still looks like there's opportunities you know, for new businesses to pop up, and you know, they're happening. They're happening.
That is interesting that the Chinese restaurant closed.
Yeah, like it kind of stood out to me because, like, look, in New York City and especially in like Brooklyn, like there are Chinese restaurants everywhere. I mean,
everywhere.
Within like a 4-block walk of where I live, like I can think of like 8. You know, and obviously they exist with all that competition, but there's a lot of people to sell to, so you know, it's fine, and their prices are pretty fixed, so like, you know, they're not really like aggressively pricing against each other, so it was like it really kind of stood out that like this one restaurant closed because it was like right off of a very very high trafficked avenue, kind of next to some other restaurants, and you know, there are some other businesses on that block closed, so I don't know, it might be a case of like maybe the developer is, you know, kind of reclaiming, you know, maybe didn't renew their lease so that they could kind of tear down the property and build like a high rise in the space, but it kind of stood out because like that restaurant in particular was always high traffic, like there was a bus stop like right in front of it, so you know, people would get off the bus and get something to eat on the way home. Like, it was always busy. And, like, you'd always see their delivery drivers kind of buzzing in and around the neighborhood making deliveries. So, it kind of stands out like that one didn't make it. But now that I think about it, it's probably more due to the value of that that corner and that property or those properties in terms of, like, a real estate value, you know, proposition, more so than that restaurant's ability to one, serve the community and be profitable. And the staff was like was young too. So again, it wasn't even a case where like, all right, well, maybe the owners want to retire and you know, and I was like, no,
I was just going to mention like maybe they retired. Maybe they were just like,
I don't think like, you know, the it was a husband and wife, you know, proprietors of that place. And they couldn't have been any more than like 5 years older than I. So not you know, not at retirement age at all.
Well, maybe you never know.
But look, good luck to them. I know wherever they pop up, I'm sure they'll get it rocking and be able to serve some good, quick, cheap, but high quality food.
Yeah. Well, as we do, and Sean, you wanna give him a last little phrase before we do end. Whatever it is, just hit me with it. Whatever.
Sure. Yeah. So let me think about this, or maybe I won't think about it too much. Oh man. We certainly live in like some very, very interesting times, and I feel like it's very underrated, like the access to information that we have. So what I would definitely say is if you're listening to this, clearly you got it from the internet, and if you're on the internet, you know, a lot of folks are using it as just an entertainment medium. Like, take a few minutes out. Just educate yourself about something. Like, just use this leisure time wherever you're finding it. I don't care if you're listening to this on your phone in the bathroom. I'm not telling you to pause this. But I am going to ask you to just open up another tab and treat yourself to some of the information that's out there. You know, ask yourself some questions. You know, find out some answers. And round yourself out. You know, that's what I got for everybody.
I like that. That's that should be an advice to my mother and my brother every time they fucking ask me a question. open your fucking phone.
I mean, it's like you can find the answer
right there.
Like it's right there. And like again, like I couldn't be mad at anyone for, you know, utilizing the internet just for entertainment, man. I'm going down a rabbit hole rewatching The Sopranos. Like, it could eat up way more time than it should if I let it. But nonetheless,
a lot of time.
You know, use the tools ass tools. You know?
All right.
Keep your brain sharp.
None too.
Open up another tab.
None too. Open up another tab. Be safe. Wear a mask. You know, gloves. Just wash your hands. Don't be stupid. And also, you know, Sean, I think we need to reiterate, if you're gonna cough, okay, I think people forgot about this, or if you're gonna fucking sneeze, it's this fucking motion into your shoulder, you know, like in there, or you know, just get your fucking mouth in your armpit. Okay, don't just go like that. Yo, it was pissing me off. We had this one patron. Maybe I shouldn't say this. Well, we had this one guest in the dining room. I think it was Friday, bro. Visibly coughing like like that. Just like fucking what? Oh, excuse me. Like, do you realize what time we're in? Right. Anyway, I went back into the kitchen, obviously pissed off. I didn't really say too much. However, if that happened in front of me, I might have decked the person.
Oh, no.
Would have gotten fired Friday. But, yeah. Again, be responsible. Do what you can. Be safe. Wash your hands. I think that's the best thing I can tell you. All right. Other than that,
peace out, Internet.